Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the very bottom line of Daf Lamed Omid Beis. Before we begin the Gemara, we glance at the side under our Nosei heading, the topic of the sugya that's coming up. We entitled Nisoyon Lahaknit Es Hillel. This is a rather famous story. Nisoyon is an attempt, Lahaknit, to infuriate or irritate Hillel. Hillel, the Nosi of Klal Yisrael in his generation. So we have a story that begins here at the bottom line in a Tanaic source. As you can see, it's framed, and this framed section is rather long, as you can see as you scroll on to Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, Le'olam yehe odom anvison kihilel va'al yehe kapton kishamai. A person shall we strive to be humble and express humility like Hillel, and not a person who is strict or restrictive as Shammai. Maisa b'shnei b'nei Adam. There was an incident involving two people. Shehemiru ze eze. In other words, they wagered with one another. Omru, and they said, "Call me sheyelich v'yaknit es Hillel." Yitol arba me'azuz. Anyone who can go and irritate Hillel will win 400 zuz. Omar echod mehem ani apnitenu. So one of them volunteered and said, "I will go and do it." Also, yomer of Shabbos hayom. It was a Friday, and as all of you, I'm sure, are aware, that Friday is a day when Shabbos preparations are underway. is a day or a time of great pressure, and tempers can be aroused very easily. So it was an erev Shabbos. The Hillel chofaf es rosho, and Hillel was washing his hair, getting ready for Shabbos. We have numbers that appear in the Gemara, and they correspond to the stages or different levels of this story as it unfolds. So Holach the Ovar al Pesach Beso, this gentleman who said he's going to irritate Hillel, went and walked by Hillel's house. Omar Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel, and he calls out, is there any Hillel over here? Now, this is certainly not the way to address the Nasi, the head of the nation of Israel. He is a Nasi. In English, the term Nasi is sometimes translated as president, the leader, and he's calling him out like that. Is there any Hillel here? Nis'atef v'yotzel grosso. So Hillel, who was in the middle of washing his hair, he cloaked himself and went out to greet this man. Omar lo b'ni ma atosh mevakesh, my son, what are you requesting? Omar le, so he says, Shelo yeshli l'shol, I have a question. Omar le, sha'al b'ni sha'al, ask my son. So we have, by way of markings, you can see a diamond appears here, and it appears another two times later, a total of three. And on the side, under our Mivneh heading, we've indicated Mipnei Ma, in quotation marks, are in the diamond. The She'elos, these are questions, Kedei Lahaknit Es Hillel, to irritate Hillel. Bearing in mind, of course, it's Friday afternoon, everyone's getting ready for Shabbos, and here this fellow is walking by, and he asks him, Mipnei Ma Roshem Shel Bavlayim Skal Galois. Why are the heads of the Babylonians spherical in shape? Omale, Bini She'elo Gedolo Sha'alta. You asked a great question. And he answers, Mipnei She'ein Lohem Chayos Pikos, because the midwives that deliver the babies in Bovel are not skilled. And that causes a, we'll call it a deformity in the head shape. Halach v'imtin shalachas. This fellow went away, waited an hour. Chozer v'yomar, came back and said, Mikan hilo, mikan hilo. Nisate v'yosel ikroso. He cloaked himself to greet him. Omar lo, b'ni, ma atam mifakesh. What are you asking? Omar lo, shele yeshvi lishol. I have a question. Omar lo, shal b'ni shal. Ask my son. And the question is, b'nei ma ineyem shel tarmudoyin trutos. Tarmudoyin is the name of a people, a nation. So he's asking, why are the eyes of the tarmudoyin people trutos? There are two explanations for what trutos means. One is, Rashi uses the term rakos. Rakos literally means soft. Maybe it's an indication that they're weak or tearing. And another pshat is they are round in shape. In other words, the eye slit is not almond shaped, as is the case with we'll say Western Caucasian individuals, but rather it's a small type of round shape eye. Amale bini sheila gadol shalta. Sheila gadol shalta. You asked a great question. Mipnei shadorin bein acholos. Because they live in an area where there's a lot of sand. Sand blows, and if one has an elongated eye shape, so there's more chance of the sand getting in one's eye. So as a result of what Rashi calls here adaptation, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu created in the Bria the ability to adapt to one's surroundings. So as a result of adaptation, their eyes became round, thereby reducing the eye surface area into which the sand could enter. 3. Holach v'imtin shalachas, chozer v'yomar, mikan hilo, mikan hilo, nis'ate v'yotzel ikrosoi, omar lei, b'ni, ma atam mevakesh, omar lei, she'elo, yesh lishol, omar lei, sha'al b'ni sha'al, mitnei ma ragleim sha'afrikayim rechovois. Why are the legs of the, or the feet of the Africans, why are they wide? Omar lei, b'ni, she'elo g'doylo sha'alta, mitnei shedorin bein bitzei hamayim, because they live in marshy areas. Now Rashi here has also two pshatim. One is because of their wide foot, so they will be able to stay buoyant in these marshy areas. Another pshat that Rashi gives is because they don't wear shoes, because they live in a marshy area, they walk barefoot, and they don't have the constraint of a shoe that maintains a normal, that is for shoe wearing people, normal foot shape. Therefore, their feet, being unrestricted, will turn to flatten out. Omar loy she'elois harbe yeshli lishol. So this man says to Hillel, I have a lot of questions. And Monsieur ani shemot tichois, but I'm afraid you're gonna lose it. You're going to become angered with me. Nisatev v'yoshev lefonov. Hillel cloaked himself, sat in front of this man. Omalei kol sheilus yeshlocha lishol sha'al. Whatever questions you have, by all means ask. Omalei atohu Hillel shikur nesonosi yisrael. You Hillel that they call the head of Israel. Omalei hein. Yes, I am. Omalei im atohu lo yarbu kamoyscha b'israel. If you are he, then there shouldn't be more like you in Israel. Omalei v'ni mipnei ma. Why is that? Like, what's wrong with me? Amalei ibnei she ibadati al yodcha arba mei zuz, because through you I have lost 400 zuz. Amalei heve zohir beruchacha, be careful with your spirit. He says, Hillel says to this man, kedai hu Hillel she tevad al yodoi arba mei zuz ve arba mei zuz veHillel lo yakpiv. Hillel is worth it that you should lose 400 zuz and another 400 zuz, but as long as Hillel, maintain my composure and don't lose it. Tono Rabbanan. Here we have another Tanaic source. It's rather long, as you can see with our long frame section. This is another very, very well-known story. The Nosei Mivneh heading that appears on the side features the triangle, and you can see a series of these appear in our source. These are Gimel Maisim, three incidents in Nochrim with three different Gentiles, Shibolis guy, that came to convert. B'tnoim Mesuyim, but they had their own special conditions. B'chol Mikre, in each one of these cases, Amifkosh Rishon Hu'im Shammai, the first encounter with each one of these Gentiles is with Shammai, Shetochafom, who pushes them away. V'achakach Im Hillel Shemagarim, and after that, they each one of them meets up with Hillel, who eventually converts them. the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa Benochri Echod, Shebolifnei Shammai. A Gentile came to Shammai, Omar Le, Amalo, Kamo Toros Yeshlechem. He says, How many Torahs do we have? Omar Lo, Shtayim. We have two Torahs. Torah Shebichsav, the Torah Shebal Peh. We have a written Torah and an oral Torah. Omar Le, Shebichsav, Ani Maamincho, Shebal Peh, Eini Maamincho. Gayareini, Almenas, Shetilamdeini, Torah Shebichsav. So this Gentile says, as far as the written Torah, that I believe you. I believe that there is a written Torah. However, an oral tradition, I don't believe. Convert me on condition that you teach me the written Torah. Go arbo v'hotzio b'nezifa. Shammai got enraged and cast him out in anger. Bo lifnei Hillel. This same Gentile comes to Hillel. Gairei and Hillel enables him to convert. Yom Kama, the first day of their encounter, Amalei. So there was an arrangement here for him, for Hillel to teach this this Nochri Torah. So he starts off with the Aleph Beis. He says Yom Kama Le Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. He says, well, you've got to learn the alphabet. We start with Aleph, and that's followed by Beis, followed by Gimel, and then Dalet. Lamocher Apich Le. The next day, he comes in for his this Nochri comes in for his lesson, and he says, well, the alphabet begins Dalet, then followed by a Gimel, followed by a Beis, then an Aleph. Amalevo Esmolo Amarto Nihochi. But this Nochri, who was a conscientious student, said, well, but yesterday you didn't tell me thusly. Amale Lav Olai Didi Kosamchis. Is it not so then that you are relying on what I am teaching you? Well, Da'al Penami Smocholai. So, regarding the existence of an oral tradition, rely on me for that as well. Shuv Maisa Benochri Achor, another incident. Shebo Lifnei Shammai, who this Gentile came to Shammai. Omar Le, Gaireni Amanash Shetalamdeni Kol HaTorah Kuluk Shini Oymei Al Regel Ech Achas. I want you to convert me while you are teaching me all of the Torah while I stand on one foot. Dochvoi Bi'amas HaBinyan Shebiado. He cast him out with a pole that he was holding in his hand. He pushed him out. Bald if Nehillel, and Gairei came to Hillel, and Hillel enabled him to convert. Amalo, so Hillel says, you wanted to learn all of the Torah while you're standing on one foot. Well, assume your position. You're on one foot. So here it is. Dalecha sani, that which you find hateful, lechavruch lo savi, don't do it to your friend. Zuhi kol haTorah kula. This is the entire Torah. The idach pirushahu. Whatever else there is commentary. Zil gemar, you go learn the rest. Shuv Maisa Benochri Echot Shoya Oiver Achire Beis HaMedrash Shoma Kol Sofer Shoya Oimer. There was an incident with another Gentile who was passing by a Torah study hall, and he heard the instructor calling out V'ele Habgodim Asher Yasu Choshen V'Ephod, and the instructor inside was teaching Torah, and he said that he was reciting a pasuk in Sefer Shmos dealing with the manufacture of the Kohen clothing, and he mentions the different garments that a Kohen Godol wears. Omar, and this Gentile who hears this says, Halolulumi, he asks, well, who are these clothing for? Omru lo, they informed him, Lekohen Godol, these are the garments made for the Kohen Godol. Omar, Oisei Nochri Biatzmo, well, this Goy figured to himself, I'm going to go convert on condition that they appoint me as high priest. He proclaims to Shammai, he says, I want you to convert me on condition that you make me into the Kohen Gadol. Very impressed, of course, with the clothing that he will deserve to wear. So that's what's motivating here, apparently. Once again, we see Shammai pushing this man out with the pole that he was holding in his hand. Ba lifnei Hillel, Gairei. Hillel, and Hillel, like we saw in the previous two incidents, converts him. Amalei, klum ma'amidim melech elamishu dea tachsisei ma'achus. Hillel says to him rhetorically, he says, is there ever any conversion other than cases where someone who wants to be a king, he learns the different manners and practices of monarchy? Lech lemo tachsisei ma'achus. Go and learn what you want, the office that you want to assume. You want to assume the office of high priest, so go and learn, study how to be that. Holach v'kora, he went and read the Torah on the topic. Kevan shigia, he got to a posik that says, v'azar akorev yumos. The zar is literally the stranger, meaning the non-Kohen who draws unto things that a Kohen is supposed to be doing, is guilty of death. Omar le mikro ze al mi ne'amar. So the Gentile, the wants to know, or we'll say the convert wants to know, who does this pasuk refer to? So Hillel answers him, Omale afilu al David melech Yisrael. The term zar refers to someone who is a not Kohen, and that does include even the king of Israel. Even someone like the great King David is called a zar. Nosa oisa ger kal v'chomer v'atzmo. Well, this convert then used kal v'chomer logic regarding himself and came to the following conclusion. Uma Yisrael shenikru bonim lamokom. Mind you, the Jewish people that are born Jewish, that are called the children of the Almighty, umitoch avosh avam kolem b'ni b'chor Yisrael, and through the love that he has, that the Almighty has for the Jewish people, he calls them my son, the firstborn, the nation of Israel. And yet, ksivaleim vazar korem yumos, even someone as beloved and close to the Almighty as a Jew, but if he's not a Kohen, and he assumes priesthood, he will be subject to death. Ger hakal shebo b'maklu v'tamilo alachas kama v'kama, the convert who is portrayed here as lighter, who comes with his staff and his backpack, all the more so, someone who's coming like a stranger, coming into the fold, traveling from afar and coming to join the Jewish ranks, all the more so, is going to be subject to this. And therefore, he understood that his desire to be a Kohen Gadol is not in the books. Ba'olifnei Shammai, he came then to Shammai, came back to Shammai, Omele klum roi ani lios Kohen Gadol, v'alo ksiv b'tor avazar korev yumos. He says, I'm not even fit to be a Kohen, as it says in the Torah. So that he's proclaiming to Shammai so that there wasn't even a chance. I didn't even have a chance of being a Kohen in the first place. Ba'olifnei Hillel, Omele anvason Hillel, yonuchuloch brochis al roishcha. So he then comes to Hillel and says, "You, the humble Hillel." Brachas, blessings should be upon your head. Shekraftani tachas kanfei Hashem. You enabled me to convert and be drawn under the wings of the divine presence. The yomim nizdavgu shloshton lemokem echad. These three converts that were featured in this story we noted above, they came together. They met together at one place. Amru, and they proclaimed, "Kaptenuso shel Shammai biksha l'tordenu min ha'olam." The Kapadonus of Shammai, his strictness and his unwillingness to bend could have caused us to be cast out of the world. In other words, not to have merited conversion. The way he treated us, he simply shoved us away. We would have had no chance. An v'sinusa shel Hillel kervonu tachas kanfei Hashchina. But the humility and the tolerance that Hillel showed to us enabled us to be included under the divine spirit. Omar Reish Lakish, my dichtiv. What is behind this pasuk? It says, "V'hoya emunas itecha choisen Yeshua's chokmas v'das v'chulei." And the continuation of the pasuk says, "Yiras Hashem hi oitzoroi." Now, what the Gemara does is it takes this pasuk in Yeshaya and breaks it down into its individual words. Emunas zeh seder zroyim. This drasha will break down this pasuk in taking six words from this pasuk and associating each one of the words with one of the orders of the shas, of the shisha sedarim, the oral law, the mishnayos and gemara broken down into six units, and they are zroim, moyed, noshim, nezikim, kochim, and taros. And each one of these words corresponds to each one of these orders. So emunas ze seder zroyim, the first section of the sixth of the shas, which deals primarily with laws of that are agriculturally related, related to plants, to fruits, vegetables, etc., is called emunas. And Rashi says, "Sha'al emunas ha'odam somech lahafrish ma'asrois of karoi." We rely on a person to tithe. In other words, when you buy produce from someone or you eat by someone's house, you rely on him, you have trust in him, you have faith in him that he did the tithing properly. The Tosfos points out, Emunah zeh seyd zroim mefirsh b'shami shemamin b'chayo elomim v'zorea. He has trust in the Almighty, and he takes seeds. He'll take, for example, wheat kernels or barley kernels, which are themselves edible. But instead of eating them, he takes them and throws them in the ground, relying, having faith, emunah, on the Almighty that they will grow. The next word from the pasuk, itecha, the word ace has to do with time. It says seder moyed. That's a reference to the second seder, which deals with holidays. Chosen. Ze Seder Noshim. Rashi says, Choisen Loshon Yorshim. It has to do, the word is associated with heirs. Valyadei Isha Noldu Yorshim. In order to produce offspring who will be the heirs, you need to have a wife. And hence the term Choisen, which is associated with heirs, is a reference to Seder Noshim, the order that deals with the laws of we'll say a family building of marriage and other related matters. Yeshuois ze Seder Nezikin. Seder Nezikin is the order dealing with financial matters, damages, debts, neighborly obligations, court-related matter, court procedure. Rashi says Seder Nezikin Moshi'on. It has to do with salvation. Mazhir lufrosh mehezek umishayev mamon. It warns people to stay away from things that cause damage, and that would subsequently make him financially in debt. The next word, chokhmas ze seder kochim. That's a reference to the order dealing with laws pertaining to primarily to the Beis Hamikdash and to sacrifices. The das ze seder taros. Das, Rashi says, is oduf mechochma. It's a higher level of knowledge, of wisdom and understanding than chochma. There's chochma and then das. And to understand the laws that pertain to Seder Taros requires that. The afilu hochi. And even so, the pasuk goes on to say, Yiras Hashem hi otsaroi. The fear of the Almighty is his, the Almighty's treasure. Rashi says, he ikur hachoshubein of le'etzor v'lasa sgulu lezikoron. It's one who excels in yiras shamayim, so this will enable him, as Rashi says, sgulu lezikoron, enable him to remember, to retain his Torah learning. Omar Rava, b'shal shemachnisim odom ledin oimim lo, when after a person lives out his life and he enters the world to come and confronts the heavenly court, he is presented with six questions. And once again, you'll see that these six questions are very much related to the six explanations, each one of the explanations we gave to the different orders of the Shas. So the first, remember, the first word was emuna. So they ask him, nososo v'nasata be'emuna, did you conduct yourself in business in faith, in good faith? Kovata itim l'toro, did you establish times for Torah learning? So here we have the word emuna, and here you have the word ace, which time, did you set established times, fixed times for Torah study? Though a person has to pursue a livelihood which can involve a great deal of time during the day, that is, however, no excuse not for having established times for Torah study on a daily basis. Hence, a person is asked, was he koveh item l'Torah? And we can mention, by the way, this is one of the great features of the study of Daf Yomi, where people know that every day they have to learn another Daf of Gemara, and a person who engages that in that type of study will certainly be able to answer this question in the affirmative. Number three, asakta bepir viribya. A person is asked, did he engage in procreation? At least attempt to procreate. Number four, sipisa lishua. Did you look forward to the promises and the different prophecies that are featured in the Nevi'im, which is a reference to the redemption of the nation of Israel, the coming of the Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Number five, pilpalta b'chochma. In your Torah study, did you analyze with wisdom? And number six, and that's the word chochma you can see, and hevanto davar mitoch davar, this has to do with das, which is the ability to understand something from having learned something else. The ability to extrapolate and draw inferences from other information. V'afilu hachi, I yiras Hashem hi otsaro. In, if a person has stored up, has excelled, accumulated the fear of Hashem, then he will be successful. I loy loy, and if not, so he won't. Moshel li'odom, to appreciate this, the Gemara offers an analogy. Moshel li'odom shomer lo lishlucha, man said to his messenger, he'elo li kur chitim la'aliyah, kindly put in the silo. A kur is a measure, it's also 30 sa'ah, another measure, it's of chitim, of wheat. Put it in the aliyah, in the store facility, literally the second store, the attic. Holach v'helolo. So this shaliach, this messenger went ahead, and or the emissary went ahead and did it. Omar lei. So the owner asks, irafto li bohen kav chumtun. Did you mix in with all the grain that you stored up in the aliyah? Did you mix in a kav of chumtun? Now, just statistically, a kav. There are six kav in a sa'ah. And in one kor, there are 30 sa'a. So it's 1/180th. So it's a small amount, relatively speaking, of the grain that was stored, of chumtone. Chumtone is a preservative. It keeps the grains from becoming wormy. Amalei, lav, the emissary said, well, I didn't mix that in. Amalei, mutov im lo helesa. It would have been better then that you didn't store up the grains in the first place. In other words, by storing the grains without the preservative, all that's going to happen to them is they're going to become wormy. The analogy then is that a person may pursue a lot of Torah study, but he doesn't develop yiras shamayim, so all the Torah study that he had will be for naught. Tana debe Rabbi Yishmael. A person, if he mixes in a kav, that we mentioned before is a measure of chumton, the preservative, in a kur of tvua, of grains, and then he doesn't have to worry. Rashi says, he doesn't have to worry about selling it at full price. It's not the fact that you have, let us say, you have a you're selling something, we say 100% pure whatever, and here someone is going to be selling the grains that have this preservative mixed in. Can he sell it at full price? After all, the chumton is not grains, and yet he's going to be selling it for full grain value. So the Rashi points out that there is no problem in charging full price, because without the chumton, the grains won't be preserved. So it's part of the grain expectation in a grain deal. Omar Rabo Baravuna, Kol Odom Shiesh Bo Torah, the Ain Bo. The Gemara continues on Omid Beis Yiras Shomayim, and he doesn't have the fear of the Almighty in him. Doimel Gizbor Shemosu Maftechas Apnimios. It's analogous to someone to a treasurer. Who was given keys for the inner chambers, we'll say the vaults, ma'aftechas hachitzenis lo mosru lo behei ayel, and he wasn't given the door to the main entranceway in order to get to the inner chamber where the monies are stored. So how will he ever get to it? In other words, you have a man who's in charge of the the treasures, the riches, and he has no access to it. Similarly, a person might have he might have stored up a lot of Torah learning, but if he doesn't have Yiras Shamayim, he won't be able to access it. Machris Rebbe Yanai, Chaval al deles le darta, vitara le darta ovid. Another analogy, we have woe unto the individual that doesn't have a darta, a dira, a home, but he builds a gate for the home. It's useless, it's futile to build a gate to nowhere. Omar Rav Yehuda, lo bora kodesh boruch hu saloma ala kedei shiru milafonav. The Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world for one purpose, and that is that the creation should be in awe of him. Shenemar v'alkim asa shiyu'u milafonav. As the pasuk indicates, that he made the world in such a way, with an expectation that the humanity should have should be in a feeling of, sometimes translated as fear, but I don't know if that's accurate. More a feeling of awe of the. There's a concept in Musar that's referred to as Yiras. There's Yiras Ha'Einish, that's fear of punishment, and there's Yiras HaRomamus. There's a sense of Yirah because of Romamus's great heights. And loosely translated, we can say it has to be it has to do with a feeling or an emotion of being awestruck. We have now a story, and we have a Maisa that's noted to the side of the Gemara. The Maisa word is encircled with a descending vertical dash line. And following the Maisa, which lasts these number of lines corresponding to the dashed vertical line, there will then be a point that's made, which also lasts a number of lines as the marking indicates. The Gemara continues with a story. Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Elazar, Havi Yasvi. So these two Rabbonim were seated. Cholif Yozer, Rabbi Yankiv Bar Acha. And Rabbi Yankiv was passing by these, by Rabbi Simon and by Rabbi Elazar. Omelei Chad L'Chavrei. One turns to his friend and says, Neku Mekamei De Gavar Dochil Chatoinhu. Let's stand up for him and honor him. It's honor of Rabbi Yankiv Bar Acha because he is a man. Dochil means fears. Chatoin, sin. He's fearful of sinning, what we sometimes would translate as he has Yiras Shomayim. Omale Idoch, the other one says, Neku Mekame, the Gavar Ba'urianhu. Let's stand up because he is a learned person. Omale, so the first one says, Amin Oloch Ano, the Gavar Dochel Chatoinu. I said, let's stand up for him as a result of his being a man full of Yiras Shomayim. The Amrisli At Ba'urianhu, and you're saying, let's stand up for him because he's learned. In other words, you are lessening the honor due to him. You're paying him a lower level compliment than that which I said regarding him. So we, in this last piece of Gemara, we have two Rabbanim, Rabbi Simon and Rabbi Elazar, one saying emphasizing the Yiras Shamayim, the other one emphasizing his having absorbed Torah knowledge. Tistayim, the Rabbi Elazar, hu damar the gavar, let us conclude that Rebbe Elazar is the one who placed the emphasis on the fact that he was a man who is dochil, fears chatoin, sin. He was God-fearing. The Amar of Yochanan Mishum Rebbe Elazar. And here Rebbe Yochanan quotes Rebbe Elazar, Ein lo l'kodesh baruch hu b'lomel lo yiras shamayim b'lvad. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has in this world only one thing. There's only one thing of value to the Almighty in this world, and that's this concept of yiras shamayim. This is a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu said in addressing the nation of Israel. He says, what does the Almighty ask of you? He asks of you nothing other than to fear him. And the emphasis on this in this pasuk is the word hain, which we dashed underlined. Shekein b'loshon yevoni kurin li'achas hain. In Greek, the word for one is the word hein. Even in English, the word one sounds like hein, or uno. And as such, the pasuk Vayomer Eladam hein Yiras Shamayim means the Kodesh Baruch Hu has only one thing, and that is, he has only one thing that he's interested in, and that is Yiras Shamayim. So after all of this, we see that this is a Rebbe Elazar authored this section, Tistayim. So that means, let us then conclude, like we said at the beginning of this point, that Rebbe Elazar is the one that would have been the one to have placed emphasis on Yiras Shamayim in this story above involving Rav Yankiv Bar Acha. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form, and on the side, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we feature it, the house shape, Shnei Droshes Be'inyin Rishoyim. We have two explanations regarding the wicked. One has to do with Al Tir Shahar Bey. It's a pasuk in Koheles, and the Gemara will explain it, which means don't be too wicked, which is a somewhat odd thing to say. Don't be too wicked, sounding like, but a little wicked you can be. So that needs explanation. And number two, Yoidim Soifam Veloy Chozrin Lamutav. Rishoyim know what their end is, and they still don't return. They don't repent. The Gemara. Dorash Rav Ula, Mai Dichtiv Al Tir Shaharbe V'chulei. That is the posuk, and the initial reaction is Harbe Huda Lo Lirsha Ha Ma'at Lirsha. One shouldn't be a very wicked, but a little wicked one could be. After in this posuk, the word Harbe appears along with Tirsha. You could have just said Al Tirsha, period. But it says don't be Al Tirsha Harbe. Don't be very wicked, leaving room to infer, but a little would be okay, and that's hard to understand. Ella, mi shochal shum v'reichoy noidef. Someone who ate garlic and he has a foul odor, as is associated with garlic eating. That's reichoy noidef. Yachsev v'yochal shum acher v'yei reichoy noidef. Should he eat more garlic to improve his breath? Obviously, no. So that if what the pasuk is saying, that if a person sinned, don't continue sinning. It's not going to improve things. Another drasha, Dorash Rova Ba Rav Ula, Mai Dichtiv Ki Ein Chartzuvos L'moisim Ubori Ulam. Omar, now we dashed on the word Chartzuvos, the Gemara will treat that word as a contraction. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Dayan L'Rishoyim She'enon Charedin V'atzevin M'yoyim HaMisa. It's not enough that the wicked are not afraid and saddened by the day of death, but their spirit is very literally broad like a hall, but it means they're very self-confident and conceited. V'hainu diyoma rabo mai dichtiv ze darkom kesel lomoi. That's the pasuk. Rashi points out in the upper part of the narrow line, ze darkom li'el min eksiv kirbom botemu li'olam. V'hainu kvura, the word kirbom has to, with a little letter switch, you can see the word kever in there as well. Hainu kever v'hodor ksiv, it says, Zed darkam keselomo, klomar, yoidim heim, shizu darkam. They know that the way of people is to die. Avo keselomo, kilo yosehen mechupin bechelbon. Rashi explains that their kidneys, it's an organ which is associated with counsel, with thought. So their center of thought is covered with fats. May hashiv el kiliyasein machsheva soifam. In other words, their ways are such that they cover over their abilities to think things out and think about their end. Now Rashi goes on, and this will help us understand the Gemara as well. You might say, well, the fats that are in them causes them to forget. And their whole life behavior is one of mistake. It's not something that's out of knowing evil. Talmud Lomar v'achareihem. Es she'osid lavo l'nafsham acharei ovdom b'fiyim yirtzu. These are words from the pasuk, and that's why we have quotation marks. And the Rashi will appreciate this when we go into the Gemara. That's b'fiyim yirtzu v'sapru tamid v'afal b'kein einam chazur. They know, they'll say, yeah, we're all going to die, and they repeat it. They're well aware of their end, and yet they do not repent. So as we continue in the Gemara, on the third wide line, v'hainu d'amar Rava, mai dichtiv, with this with what we just said in the Gemara, which regarding the Rishoyim is that not only are they not fearful of the day of death, but they also walk around with this feeling of overconfidence. This is parallel by that which it says, zed darkom kesel lomoy. And as we saw in the Rashi, we we now read in the Gemara, Yoidim Rishoyim Shidakim Lamisa, the Rishoyim know, the wicked know that their path is to death, V'yeshlem Chelev Al Kislam, and they have fats on their kidneys, and literally, meaning that their centers of counsel are covered over, and therefore they continue in their ways, not thinking about what their ends are. You might say, well, they forgot. And as we say, they're not really responsible, because one who forgets is called shogeg, and not something done with intent. Talmud Lomar v'achreim b'fiim yutzu sela. As the pasuk says, they the achreim, their finality, their end, their death, b'fiim is always in their mouths. They're always talking about it, but yet they do not repent. At this point, the Gemara goes back to that which was mentioned in the Mishnah, kechos al haner, and it went on to say kechos al hashemen, kechos al psila. The Tanakhama says chayav, and Rabbi Yosi poter b'chulam chutz min apsila. Rabbi Yosi was lenient and said that all the other examples of the extinguishing in the Mishnah are not considered Torah level violations, except for putting out the flame because of the wick. The Gemara, Rabbi Yosi Kaman Svirulei. Rabbi Yosi, who focuses on the extinguishing because of the psila, because of a wick consideration, as being the only example of a Torah level obligation or violation, which would result in his needing to bring a sin offering if he did so b'shogeg. Which other Tanaic school does he subscribe to, or is he conform to? Before we go on to the Gemara, we've just simply noted under our no say heading on the side that Loma Rabbi Yosi Mechayev Dafke B'Psila. We're focusing on why is it that Rabbi Yosi claims that that's the only example of a Chiyuv. So the Gemara, as we said, wants to know Keman Svirle, who does he hold like? E Rabbi Yehuda Svirle, if he is of the Rabbi Yehuda school of thought. Now, we have mentioned this in the past, but we'll repeat again. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a molocha shein tzricha legufa is chayav. That means that Rabbi Yehuda focuses more on the action that one does than the intended outcome. In other words, the Malachas of Shabbos, 39 of which there are patterned after the activities used in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, there is a possibility of someone doing an action, but with an intention other than that which the activity was designed for in the Beis HaMikdash. In that event, you have a malacha, but it's ein tzricha legufa. It doesn't have the. It's not done with the original mishkan intent. So, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that malacha shein tzricha legufa is nevertheless chayav, because he doesn't emphasize so much intent, but more emphasis on the action. So, if that be the case, so afilu b'hanoch nami lechayav, Rabbi Yosi should have held as being guilty of a Shabbos violation, even the other examples featured in the Mishnah of kibui, of extinguishing. E k'Rabbi Shimon svirlei, if Rabbi Yosi holds like Rabbi Shimon, then psila nami liftar. Even the case of extinguishing for preserving the wick should be exempt, because kibui in the Mishkan was done, the Mishkan purpose of kibui was for making coals, where in order to make a coal, one has to burn the wood and then extinguishes the wood. And in extinguishing the wood, after it's burnt sufficiently, it is now a coal. And then eventually he'll relight the coal when he wants to use the coals for fuel. But if someone is putting out a wick because he's interested in preserving the wick, that's not the original design of Meleches Kibui. So, why does Rabbi Yosi hold that on the kibui extinguishing he is chayav and not chayav for the other types of extinguishing mentioned in the Mishnah? As we go on, we have a new marking, a diamond, and on the side under our Mivneh heading, the diamond represents Hesberim Lishitas Reb Yossi. We're now going to explain Reb Yossi. Keman Svirulek Reb Yudo Kerbi Shimon B'Melocha Shein Tzricho L'Gufa. What? Who does he hold like in this area? Omar Ula Li'Olam Kerb Yudo Svirulek. He holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that in general, Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, one would be Chayav for. Because Sava Rabbi Yossi, however, Rabbi Yossi also holds that Soser, an activity that in its, its nature, or when glancing at its, at first glance, appears to be a destructive activity. And there are numerous examples of that. There is literally destroying a building, knocking down a building, knocking down a construction, or erasure of something. That's the undoing, that's sosir, where you're undoing something, or ripping something. Korea. Different examples of malachos that can fall under this category of sosir. But he gives us a rule. Rabbi Yossi holds, sosir al menas livnos b'mekoymoi have sosir, where you are destroying something in order to rebuild, reconstruct in the same spot, that is called soser. However, al menas livnoi shalom b'mekomo, if the intention is to reconstruct something in a different place, in other words, you're knocking down a building over here and you're going to rebuild a new structure at a different site, that's called Almanas livna shalobim koma lo have a soser. That's not the malacha of soser in the Torah or in the Mishkan. Therefore, in the case of putting out, let us say, the flame because you want to preserve the cup that's a kechos al aner, so you put out the flame because of the cup in that was holding the oil. You were afraid it was going to get ruined. So that was, you blew it out, but the relighting of that is not called, Almanas Livnos Bimakomo. And Rashi points this out, that the concept of kibui, of extinguishing, as an example of soser, the almanas livnos bimakomo is only when you're putting out the wick and you're eventually going to relight that very wick. In the case of putting out the wick because you want to preserve the cup in which the oil is being held, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to relight that wick that you just put out. And likewise, chosal shemen, you want to preserve the oil, so you blow out the wick. And when you want to continue using that oil, there, no one's saying you're going to be using that same wick. You're not putting out the wick in order to relight that wick, per se. It's only in the case where you're putting out the wick to relight that very same wick, can we say that soser almanas livnos bimekoymoi. The Gemara now asks a very fundamental question. Amarle Rabba. Rabba asks Ula, Michti kol melechus yafinun lehu mi mishkan. All melechus Shabbos are learned from the Mishkan, as we've indicated already a number of times, that in the 39 Ovis melechus were 39 activities that were done in the construction of the Mishkan. The Hasam, in the case of the Mishkan, so shamanas livno shalobim komo, who? The Mishkan, the basic melacha of soser, undoing, knocking a structure down. The Mishkan was a portable structure that was constructed and disassembled when needed in their travels in the Midbar. So it was disassembled and then rebuilt at a different spot than where it was originally set up. So all the cases of the Mishkan are soser, it was disassembled, in order to rebuild it, reconstruct it where? Somewhere else, somewhere down the road, so to speak, further on in their travels. It wasn't disassembled to be rebuilt in the same spot. So if the malach of soser is learned from the Mishkan, if anything, it was never a soser almanas livnos bimakomo, amar lei. So Ula answers, Shiny Hossam, the case of the Mishkan is different. Kevon Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, the travels were all based on the word of the Almighty. Kisos Hamanas Livnois B'Mekoymoy Domi. Wherever it was reconstructed, that was its designed place. So that since all of the travels were done by way of the command of the Almighty, if I may go out on a limb and give my and offer my own explanation of this, that since all places are considered the domain of the Almighty, so wherever you were in His domain, in His location. So you disassembled it here, and it was reconstructed upon His command in His domain. So it's all considered the same domain. In fact, the one of the terms referred to in addressing the Almighty is Hamokoim. Unfortunately, in a mourner's house, the traditional wish of comfort to the mourner is Hamokom Yenachem Eschem Besoch Shavet Siv Yushalayim. We say Hamokom Yenachem, which is a reference to the Almighty. So the Mishkan's disassembling and reconstruction was all really in the same place. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Rabbi Yochanan has a different approach than that of Ula in explaining Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi subscribes to Rabbi Shimon's approach to Melocha Shein Tzricha Legufa is really one would be exempt. So if one is doing a Melocha with an intent other than the Mishkan intent, he should be exempt. So my shnob silo. So then, why in the case of the extinguishing of the wick is one chayav according to Rabbi Yossi? Answer. But let's before we go to the answer, let's just review the original Mishkan design of Meleches Kibui is for the making of a coal. In other words, it's something that you extinguish in order to relight it later as fuel. Well, how does that have to do with someone who's chosal apsila, who wants to, he blows out the wick in order to preserve the wick, if you will. So the Gemara explains, Kid'omer of Hamnuna, Vitemer of Ado Barava. The explanation is based on what they say, Hocha bepsila shitzorch la'avav askinon. We're talking about a wick that needs to be subject to something called hivhuv. This is a singeing of the wick, where one takes a new wick, he lights it and blows it out, and it will then be much easier to relight it later when you need it to burn. So it's that kind of wick that's featured in the Mishnah. Debayi afilu Shimon Moidi. Rabbi Shimon himself will concede that that is a real Meleches Kibui, which is called Tzorech Legufa. He will concede the ka misakein mona. He is making it into a better wick. Misakein mona is literally to construct, make something into a vessel, but it means he's making it into an effective wick. Deka nami, Omar Rava, deka nami. And Rava says, by careful reading of the mission, you can see that's what we are talking about. Tikotani, shihu oise pechom. We said he's Rabbi Yossi is chayav apsilim b'nei shu oise pechom. The lo katoni b'nei shenasis pechom. It doesn't say because it became pechom. Rather, it says he is making pechom. Pechom is a coal. Shma mino. What do we mean by that? What does it mean? Where he is making a coal. So Rashi explains. Shehu miskave mamish la'asoyso kemin pechom achshov. His dealing with this new wick and singeing it is essentially making the tip of the wick like a coal. Alma b'kibui hatzorch l'gufo mayri. This is the formal, original form of kibui. V'lo katani shenasis pechom mitchilosoi shehuvavo. It doesn't say that it had become charred from the outset, that it had been singed. The nimtze lememar, that we would then say taimo mishum de bas binyan hi diko binyan b'mokom stira ma she'en kein b'shemen v'ner de lo shayach b'hu binyan v'stira. But rather it says that meishu oise pecham, he has kavona, he has specific intention for making it into a type of we'll call miniature charcoal, as we explained, because his intention is to relight it later with a nice, clean, quick burning, quick meaning quickly lit burning flame. The Mishnah that we're about to begin is introduced with a topic heading that we have on the side. Loma Isha Neneshes Dafka Bishas Leida. We'll be focusing on the issue of a woman who is punished for violation of several different averis at the time of childbirth. The Mishnah. Al Shalosh Averis Noshim Meisis Bishas Leidosan. For violating one of three different offenses, a woman will be subject to dying at the time she is in childbirth. And they are Alshenon Ziros Benida, Bechala, Uvad Lokasener, in their not being diligent in the laws of Nida, the menstruant woman who has laws and restrictions that apply to her. Bechala is the dough she tithes. The dough tithe that she removes from batters in with the purpose, with the intention of giving the dough tithe to a kohen, and hadlokas aner, a reference to hadlokas, the lighting of Shabbos candles. The Gemara, nida mai taima, why does she die at the time of childbirth with regard to nida? Amar Reb Yitzchok, he kilkula b'chadrei bitna, she sinned with regard to that which is, Rashi says, Kilkala's meridah, she rebelled, which is a term that we can associate with sinning, with intent, regarding matters of her beten, her belly. So therefore, lefikach tiloke bechadri bitna. So therefore, she is punished in that same anatomical area, and this is what we meant when with regard to her dying in childbirth. Tenach nida. Okay, that's an explanation as far as nida. Chalo vadlokas aner ma'iko lameimar. What is there to say with regard to the lack of diligence as regarding chalo and the dough tithe and Shabbos candles? The Gemara answers, and note, by way of marking, that we have a long answer marking. And this takes us down a number of lines, this long answer, on Omid Beis. And we also will have a marking that we'll encounter shortly, a double underline, and on the side under our Mivneh heading, we indicate Hadgoshas Sholosh HaMitzvus Shehuzku of the Mishnah. We'll be marking with a double underline the three mitzvahs that were mentioned in the Mishnah. We should also note that as far as the focus on why at the time of death, that will be presented a little bit later in the Gemara. So it's not a type of Gemara structure where the answer is immediate, but rather wait for it a little bit later. So the Gemara opens with a drosha. Kedidora shahu glila olei d'Rav Chisda. Hoglila is a person who comes from the Goliel region of Israel, and he said a drosha in front of Rav Chisda. Omar HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Revi'ez Dam Nosati Bochem. The Almighty says, I placed in man a Revi'ez is a liquid measure of in this case of blood that I placed in you. This is an amount of dam that's referred to in the Gemara from time to time as the minimum amount of blood necessary to maintain a person. So so the Almighty says, I gave you a revius of dam. Al iske dam hisharti eschem. I warned you concerning matters relating to blood. Reishis korasi eschem. I called you, the nation of Israel. Here we're at the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. I called you Reishis. Reishis is the first, or the primary. Al iske Reishis hisharti eschem. And regarding matters that are related to dough. Rashi mentions a pasuk that says Reishis Ariso Sechem, the first of your dough, is which is a term used for the challah tithe. So I called you Reishis, and I expect you to be careful with regard to Iske Reishis, the challah tithe. That's Al Iske Reishis Hisharti Eschem. I warned you to be diligent in that. Nishoma Shinosati Bochem Kuyoner, the soul that is in a man, the soul that gives him the breath of life, is called a candle, and it's called the term ner. We've seen this actually in the past. Ner Hashem Nishmas Odom Al Iske Ner Hisharti Eschem. And point for point, I've also warned you concerning the candles, and here's a reference to the Shabbos candles. Imatem mekaimim oisam mutav. If you fulfill these things, the iske dam, the iske reishis, the iske ner, then good. The imlav, and if not, hareini noitel nishmaschem. Then I will. If not, then I will take your souls. Umayshna b'shas leidoson. Now here's the question that we really had opened up with. What is the significance of the time that a woman is engaged in childbirth? Why is it at that point that she will pay the price if she violates any one of these? The Gemara answers, and you'll notice we have a number of names underlined in the next few lines down to the end of the narrow lines of the Gemara, and each one of these Rabbonon give a share an expression, Aramaic expressions, and they're basically different types of analogies that help to illustrate, we'll say, the significance of the Shas Leda. So we continue. Omar Rabo, Nofal Tura Chadad L'Sakina. When the ox falls, that's when you sharpen the knife. Now, the ox falling is a case of one who wants to slaughter an ox. So it's a large and feisty animal. The way it's slaughtered is you have to get it down to the ground. So when it's down on the ground, that's the time to sharpen the knife and slaughter it. Because otherwise, if you don't hurry and do things then, it'll get up and it'll be hard to throw it down again. What's the connection to the woman and childbirth? So Rashi explains. Nafal Tura, on the third line from the top, Nafal Tura La'oretz, the ox falls to the ground, Shu Oymed L'Shchita, that it's there to be slaughtered, Hakol Oymrim Chadul Sakina Ad Shelo Yokum. When it falls to the ground, everyone says, oh, sharpen the knife before it gets up, Torach L'Shlicho, and then it'll be hard to get him down again if it does get up. Kach Hoyul V'Yisra Mazola Mizumenes Puronuso Lovo. So to the woman, now she's in birth travails, that's called her mazel is not good. It's actually a time of danger. So that's when retribution can be meted out. Continuing in the Gemara, Abai Omar, Tofish Tirus Amso, Bechad Machtero Lehevei. We have to translate these words. The word tofish means increase, a lot. Tirus is sin, a lot of sinning. Of the amsa is a maidservant. So b'chad machtru lehevei. Rashi explains that in one shot, so then she's knocked out. What does that mean? That a person might accumulate a lot of sins, and then when the time comes, and in this case when the woman is about to give birth, that's when she gets her punishment. Rav Chista Omar Shavkei L'Ravio T'Menashe Nofio. The translation is, leave the drunkard be, he'll fall down on his own. So too, a woman who is about to give birth, so she eventually will, when she's literally about to give birth, she falls, and she needs prayer to open up her womb so that the child emerges. And what the Kodesh Baruch Hu does is that if she is guilty, he simply does not enable the womb to open up, and she dies by herself. She dies on her own. And Rashi adds here, Kol Hani Moshel Hedyot Ninu. All of these are analogies, simple analogies, common analogies. The next analogy, Mar Ukva Omar Raya Chigra V'Izi Riaton. Imagine a lame shepherd, and the goats are running loose. They run quickly, and he can't catch up. He can't catch them to smack them or to beat them into position. However, Abav Chutra Mili V'Abe Dori Chushbina. Abav is the gate. That means when they eventually the goats come to the fenced in areas where they sleep, their sheds, where their food is, that's when the shepherd will be able to smack them, so to speak, into position. And the Beit Dori is a base hadir, Rashi says. That's where it's another expression where sheep and goats are kept. And that's where the cheshbon, where the bill is paid, so to speak. So the analogy Rashi explains is, he says kloimar, and if you want to follow in the Rashi, you notice we squiggle underline the expression kloimar ishak shibrius pa'omim shishchiyosel toilu inveinkor pa'mekatreg laskra avoina. A woman, when she's healthy, she's able to continue her sins, and because she has merits that keep her going, and the mekatreg, the force of condemnation doesn't have the strength to mention her sins. Avol mishigia lepesach asakona, when she comes to a point of danger, utzricha lenisim, and she needs miracles, shomas kiran avonoisel masel imruya ilanesim lav. That's when her sins are mentioned, and the decision is made: is she deserving of a miracle to save her or not? The Gemara continues. Rav Papa Omar above. Chan v'sona nefishi achi v'umrachami, abov b'zyoni lo achi v'lo merachami. The Rashi explains, abov chan v'sona nefishi achi v'umrachami, lepesach achanuz shemechalkim boi mezoinois, at the store where food is distributed, v'yesh shom oisher, and there's a lot of wealth there, harbi achi v'arbi oavim yesh. Everyone becomes your brother, becomes your friend. Hakol nasim oavim. Everyone is looking for you to give them, to share your wealth with them. That's the bav, the door of the chanvasa, the store. However, above bizyoni, where there is a place of loss and poverty, so you don't have friends and you don't have brothers. So too, with regard to the woman, when the Shas Sakona comes around, when the time of danger, which is associated with childbirth, comes, so her mazel becomes weakened, and all those that would otherwise be in her defense cease to be there. And that's the association made between the sins and the woman's punishment at the time of Leda. The Gemara will go on to ask, what about men? V'gavri hecho mivdiki. Where are men called into account? We mentioned women are called into account at the time of childbirth. But when are men called into account? So Amrei Shlokish, b'shah she'ovrim al gesher. When a person has to cross a bridge. I don't know if we would associate a bridge in the sense with a very large monumental structure like the famous Golden Gate Bridge. I'm not sure that that's what is intended here, though that might very well be included. But certainly if someone has to cross something like a plank or rope bridge, which is very shaky, and it's at that point, person needs a lot of good fortune that everything should hold up and not come apart. So that's when a person, a man, is called into account. Does he have enough merit to cross the bridge in safety? The Gemara asks, Gesher Vesulo, only a bridge, that's the only example of something that we can say is a point of danger, that that's the point of time that a man is called to account. So the Gemara says, no, Emo Ke'en Gesher, any time of danger, any situation that a person is, we'll say a situation of non-security, is when a person could be called into account. The Gemara will continue with a couple of stories that indicate this idea. Rav lo ovar b'mavro di Yosef be'akum. Rav would not go on a boat that an idol worshipper was traveling on. Omar, and he would reason, Dilmo mifkidle dino ole umat pisno bahade. The idol worshipper might be guilty of some type of sin, and he'll then be called into account when on the boat, and I'm there on the boat too, and I'll be caught with him. Shmuel lo avar elo b'mabro d'islei ak be'akum. Shmuel had the opposite approach. He waited for an idol worshipper to be on the boat, and would travel, only then would he travel on a boat. Omar, Shmuel reasoning, sitno betrei umi lo shalit. The sultan doesn't have control over two nations. So that by my being there with him, so if I have any problems, but he's also there, so the sultan won't be able to have reign over two nations. Rav Yanai bodik v'ovar. Rav Yanai would check out the boat to make sure there was no holes in the boat, and then go. Rav Yanai letame, and Rav Yanai, by his exercising of caution, is consistent with his own teaching. The Omar, Rabbi Yanai has taught, lo yamud odom b'mokim sakona loy mashosim lo nes. A person should not subject himself or position himself in a place of danger with the claim that I will be saved through a miracle. Shema ein oisin lo nes. Maybe he won't warrant or deserving of a miracle. V'im oisin lo nes menakin lo mizichu yosav. And if he does have the miracle performed for him, that will come at the expense of other merits that he may have. Omar Rabbi Chonin, my craw. What is the pasuk that indicates this? It's a pasuk that was stated by Yankev Avinu. Katonti mikol hachasodim umikol hoemes. Rashi explains, Kotonti mikol hachasodim huptenu v'nismatu zichuyosai b'shvil hachasodim asher osiso. Yankov Avinu, who was saved from a number of dangerous situations, he says, it's true I was saved, but my kotonti, my supply or my storehouse of merits, has thereby been reduced. Rabbi Zera b'yomei d'shusa lo nofik lebeini dikli. Rabbi Zera, on a day that the southern wind was blowing, this was a strong wind capable of uprooting trees, so he wouldn't walk between palm trees for fear that the wind could uproot the tree and have it fall on him. And in lines of what we said before, that a person should not put himself into a mokon sakona. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, Rei de Rabbi Yehuda, the Oylu Mivakish Odom Rachamim Shelo Yechle. A person should pray that he should not become sick. Shim Yechle, if a person does become sick, Oymim Lo, so in heaven they say to him, Havei Zechus V'Poter, show us your merits and thereby be saved. Omar Ma'ukfo, my craw, what is the posuk that indicates this? Ki Yipol Hanoifel Mimenu. This is a posuk that's in the context of a roof that needs to have a fence around it, and we'll say a sense of protection, and it says ki yipol hanofel, for one may fall from it, mimenu lahavi raya. It's upon the individual to bring some type of proof that he has merit to be saved. Rashi says at the end of the narrow lines, mimenu lahavi raya me'achar shunofel. Once he falls, Tzorech limtso mimenu umimaisov rayo lischus. He has to find some type of merit for him to be saved. Tana debay Rabbi Shmuel. Ki po anofil mimenu. Roy ze lipo misheshis yimei abreshis. Share lo nofal. Ba kosev koru nofail. The pasuk says, in, as we mentioned, that one has to put a fence up around his roof to keep people from falling off of it. But a person who does fall, he was destined to fall from the beginning of time, from Misheshis Yimei Breishis. And we know this because up till now, he didn't fall. And yet, the Pasuk says he is the faller. He calls him, the Pasuk calls him Hanofail. So if he was destined to fall from the beginning of time, why is it that only right now he fell? So the source explains is because in order to bring punishment on this individual, it's brought through someone else who doesn't have merits, and that someone else, he didn't build a mica, a fence around his roof. That's called, we bring the chova, the punishment to this one, through someone else who was chayav, through someone else who did not perform the mitzvah of mica. And on a positive note, megal zchusai dezakai, that we cause people to, people are enabled to perform mitzvahs, to fulfill mitzvahs, through those that have merits. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.